Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome once again to this Wednesday episode of the Inner Life. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond, and so glad to have you along with us for this hour of spiritual direction here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And we're doing something a little different today. Most of the time, we talk with different priests as our spiritual directors, and we invite your phone calls in, also your emails. Today, we're going to just let you kind of eavesdrop in on a conversation with myself and our spiritual director, and we're not going to be taking phone calls in the same way we do in normal programs. So hold your calls, and we'll resume that format of the program tomorrow. But today, want to talk about Halloween, and you know, it's coming up this Sunday, and kids, they'll be trick-or-treating, and this upcoming weekend, of course, Friday and Saturday, there will be all kinds of Halloween parties and other events out there. And of course, there are all kinds of scary movies that people watch around this time of year. And so how about you? Do you enjoy watching those scary movies, the horror movies that come out this time of year? I've always enjoyed the different monster movies, the horror movies that come out, but I've always stayed away from one category of those movies. Those are the ones that dealt with people being possessed, the movies that were about true demons that are involved. You know, if I was watching a movie about a werewolf or a vampire or Frankenstein's monster, those are just kind of fun, scary, imaginary stories for me, but the movies that focus on demonic possession, they're the ones that deal with a true spiritual realm, something that I don't want to take lightly. And I've had reminders of this in my life. In fact, a few years after I was married, but before I came into the Catholic Church, I remember one Saturday night, I was up late. I don't even remember what time of year this was. I don't remember if it was close to Halloween or not. I just remember I was flipping through the channels to see what was on. And it was somewhere around maybe like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. And some of the cable channels, they just ended a program or just ended whatever they had. And they were starting those late night movies. And I landed on one channel, something like TBS or USA, one of those kind of channels. And the opening credits were playing for the movie The Exorcist. Now, I had never seen The Exorcist for the very reason I just said. I want to be very cautious about delving into things that deal with demonic possession. But as I sat there in the family room of our house, I was all by myself, my wife and our daughter, they were both sleeping in their beds, and I started this kind of mental debate with myself as to whether I should or should not watch The Exorcist. And I knew this was a classic horror movie that was regularly referenced in pop culture. And since I like horror movies, I thought, well, maybe it's time. Maybe I should give it a try now. But I had that hesitation about the subject matter. And I found myself going back and forth. Should I watch it? Should I not? Should I watch it? Should I not? And all this is taking place in my mind over the span of maybe only a few seconds. The opening credits are still playing. And I finally decided, okay, I'm gonna try and watch it. I'll watch it here. It's on, sure, I'll watch it. Right as I made that mental decision, right at the moment that I had made my choice to go ahead and watch The Exorcist, the television shut off and the lights went out in the room. And you might think I'm just telling you some sort of a ghost story. No, this is an absolutely true story. This really did happen to me. And I was far more frightened at that moment than I ever would have been from watching any movie. I was standing there in the dark in front of a television that had shut off the moment I had decided to watch a movie about demon possession. My heart was racing. It was pounding in my chest. And I was on edge, and I'm listening there in the silent darkness of that room for anyone or anything that might be there with me. And I finally made my way to where we kept a flashlight. And I checked the breaker box, and the power was out in our entire house. And then I looked up and down the street, and the power was out everywhere along our block. Now, that power outage, was that a coincidence? Could be, but I think there was some reason that God didn't want me to watch that movie at that time in my life. I don't know exactly why, but it reinforced for me that need to be very cautious of anything that deals with the demonic realm. And as we approach Halloween later this week, we know that there will be all kinds of people dressing up in costumes, and some of those will be fun and harmless, but others, they will be focused on the demonic. And so we want to take this hour of The Inner Life to discuss the reality of evil in our world. And joining me today as we talk about this, our spiritual director for the hour, you might know him as the Reverend Know-It-All, Father Richard Simon. He's the host of Father Simon Says here on Relevant Radio. You can hear his program at 1 o'clock Central every afternoon here on Relevant Radio. He's a retired priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago and a good friend. And Father, it's so good to have you here on the program with me. Welcome to The Inner Life.
Nice to be on The Inner Life, a retired pastor. Just put me in the corner and give me the pudding, please.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Yes. It's an interesting topic, isn't it? My goodness. I would say it certainly was a ghost, the Holy Ghost, you know, that, that's an interesting story that, yeah. God arranges things just right. Who knows who else was about to watch The Exorcist.
Right. Yeah, but, I suppose that's, I'd never thought of that. Somebody in our neighborhood might have been doing the exact same thing. So, no, that's a
yes, very God smiled thing. On your neighborhood. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that, so one of the
I
reasons...
remember I saw I slept like a rock after the Exorcist, but I had nightmares after the movie Ordinary People.
I mean
evil comes in lots
people.
Of forms.
That's funny. Yeah.
Oh, I knew people were going through exactly that at the time, you know. It was just there's certain things that some people in their spiritual life can watch, and the same thing another person just should not. So right. Yeah, The Exorcist is a if it was just a myth, then it'd be fun, like you say, like a nice vampire movie. Though
right.
Don't like to watch those before bed.
Reasons that I wanted to invite you on the show, Father, is because I've heard you talk about, on numerous occasions, the book The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And
yes.
For anybody who's not familiar with that, it's a short novel that contains these letters that are written from Screwtape, and he's a senior demon, to his nephew,
yes.
Wormwood. And Wormwood is this less experienced demon that's trying to secure a human soul for the devil, for Satan himself, for damnation. And one of the things that I found very interesting, in his introduction to the book, in the preface of the book, C.S. Lewis, he makes note that there are two problematic areas. He says there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. And he says one is to disbelieve in their existence, and the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. And I thought that might be a good guide for us as we get started today, that we have that proper attitude, that proper approach to learning about the demonic. We don't ignore it or push it under the rug or say it doesn't exist, but we also don't have an unhealthy fascination with it.
Yeah, and that's the real problem. That's why I love to recommend the book, The Screwtape Letters, especially as read by John Cleese of Monty Python. He makes it humorous, but it loses none of its profundity. He acts it out. And it is the absolute finest book on the devil ever written, because it is not dangerous. It doesn't intrigue you, it doesn't tempt you to look into these things, but it is right on spot. I have a friend who's an Exorcist, and he just says he just wonders where C.S. Lewis got all of it, because it's exactly right. So if anybody's curious about this stuff, Gabriel Amorth has written a book. I tried to read that, and I didn't get too far into it. But there was another book written by an ex-priest on it, and I got five pages into that and put it down, because it was too interesting in a way. And you know, the devil loves to have us either not think he exists or lure us into an unhealthy fascination. And I think in this current age, an unhealthy fascination is a greater danger because people are looking for spirituality. You know, people say, I want to be spiritual. I don't want to be religious, but I want to be spiritual. And they forget the devil is a pure spirit. And C.S. Lewis makes that point. The devil loves spirituality. He's a pure spirit. He doesn't like it when our spirituality affects our flesh and makes us do good things. You know, if we can just have nice vibes, the devil's fine with that. Great book.
The other thing that I just really stood out to me, and I just reread it. I've read it a couple times in the past, but I reread it over the last couple days knowing we were going to be talking here today. And I think that the Screwtape Letters is almost as much of an examination of humanity and just the condition of man. And I say man as humanity, not, you know, men and women, but the condition of man in that he has so many insights from this point of view of this demon, Screwtape, on all of the failings or moral dilemmas or ways that we might justify to ourselves things that we do in our lives. It really is quite fascinating. I think there's as much of that insight into humanity as there is into the realm of demons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the devil is a really good, he's a very good lawyer and he's a very good psychologist. No offense to either profession. But the devil's been studying humanity for eons, and he knows us pretty well. And I think that you're right, that the description of humanity and how we can make excuses for anything. You know, one of my favorite passages in the Screwtape Letters is when Screwtape says to his protege Wormwood that what you want to do is to, well, the enemy says, without me, nothing is powerful. And he says, oh, Wormwood, nothing is very powerful. You know, that if you want to get him staring into a fire that's gone cold an hour ago, or rereading the same old book or same old magazine, nothing. Get him to waste his precious time on nothing. You know, when I think of that insight into humanity, that the devil wants us to concentrate on unimportant things. That's right through the book. You know, that the fight we're having with someone to whom we're related, the people we want to impress in our social circle, that we waste most of our life on nothing. Nothing is very powerful. You're right. It's a profound insight into human sinfulness. And human sinfulness is all about the small. Oh, well, I'm off and running here. You'll excuse me. But there's one in which he says, you younger tempters, you think you want them to go to the big sins, adultery and idolatry and murder. Why go for murder when cards will do just as well?
Oh, right. Yeah.
If you can get a person to become a fanatical card player, you know, and not that playing cards is wrong, but when it becomes your whole life, well, you're wasting your life. You know, you can waste your life on small things. Why go for the sensational sins like murder when cards will do just fine? I love that line, you know, the wasting of life.
Well, and he actually, C.S. Lewis uses that theme quite often, where it's the small mundane things that we don't think, you know, oh, what harm could come of this? Or that doesn't seem all that bad.
Yeah.
And that's when he talks about getting the patient, or, you know, one of their patients, a human, mm-hmm. trapped mm-hmm. in those little mundane places where they just say, oh, it's probably not that bad. That's where they do their best work.
I think it's very close to the opening where I once had a patient like yours, a sound atheist, but he was reading in the British Museum and a thought crossed his mind, maybe there is more to this Christian stuff. Well, I hit him where he was at his weakest, his stomach. And he said, well, it's too close to lunch to think about these things. After a good full meal, I'll be ready to tackle them. And he goes out and he sees the paper boy selling a paper in the trap. And he says, oh, posh, it's a little dose of normal life that will cure you of these romantic ideas about God. And you know, it is normal life that, you know, I'd be deeply, devoutly religious if I didn't actually have to work for a living or if the Monday night football was not on, you know, that kind of thing. It is the little things that the clever demons get us with. I think that's funny.
Well, so Father, you know, you talked about the one book that you picked up and you said you had to set it down because it took you in an area where maybe looking at the realm of evil, the spiritual reality of evil, it became a little too fascinating. So, okay, I got to stop there. On the other side, how do you respond to somebody who says there is absolutely no devil, that Satan is just this made-up character to frighten children so that they behave, they just obey their parents, or they just look out and do good and don't do any really bad things? How would you respond to somebody who says, no, it's just something made up?
I tell them stories of exorcists and exorcisms I have known. It's funny how people just, you want to make a room quiet? You start talking about an exorcism that you have personal knowledge of, or that someone you're close to has personal knowledge of, that people have this instinct. They know they're not alone, for good or for ill. People have this, this hardwired awareness that there is evil in the world and they can't explain it. That's fascinating to me. The knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Since Adam and Eve, we know there's evil. And when we hear about it spoken about directly, it's like, wait. It utterly intrigues me. You know, I'm fairly well educated. I didn't sleep through all of my classes in college. And, I look kind of normal. And then when I start talking about, oh, yeah, my friend the exorcist, yada, 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 people just look at me and they think, you really? This is real? I said, sure enough, it is. You know, there's really a devil, you know? And people just, they almost freeze. It's as if they're a primitive person and they've heard a thing go in the night. They've heard a twig break in the bushes. They freeze and look because they know there's something there. Mm. They just know it.
That's so interesting. Our spiritual director here on the program today, Father Richard Simon, the host of Father Simon Says, which you can hear every day at 1 o'clock Central here on Relevant Radio. And we're talking about the reality of evil in our world. We're coming up on Halloween, very fast approaching this Sunday. And our world seems to have this fascination with horror, with the scary, the spooky out there, and also with the demonic. And we want to have a right understanding of evil in our world, not to go to one extreme where we deny it, not to go to the other extreme where we have too much of a fascination. We want to have that right balance, the education, the understanding, and most of all, so that we can then guard ourselves for any of those spiritual attacks that'll come our way. And we're going to continue our conversation with Father Richard Simon here in just a moment on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond, and glad to have you here with us for this hour as we're talking with our spiritual director, Father Richard Simon, the host of Father Simon Says, which you can hear every day at 1 o'clock Central on Relevant Radio. And he's graciously joined us here as our spiritual director for the hour as we talk about understanding the reality of evil in our world, but of course, the spiritual realm, and how to have that proper understanding of it. And Father Simon, we were talking before the break about C.S. Lewis and the Screwtape Letters, his novel that he wrote about the realm of the spiritual world, and especially the demonic out there, and how they're trying to impact us. You know, one of the other things, as I mentioned, we're coming up on Halloween this Sunday. And I think maybe it's important for us to talk about Halloween in its proper context, not as a holiday to just revel in all things scary or spooky, but it's really the eve of a high feast, a solemnity in the calendar of the church.
Yeah.
It's the solemnity of All Saints, All Hallows, and that's where we get Halloween, All Hallows Eve. Maybe you can give us a little historical understanding of what this day really should be for us as Catholics.
You know, I think one of the things that we have to recover in the church is the calendar. The calendar is, again, C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters. Someday I have to read another book. But in the Screwtape Letters, we read about human beings being created for, what's the word? We're beings who live in time who are created for eternity. Our destiny is eternity. And so in this life, all we can do is approximate eternity, with what he calls undulation. In other words, we have the calendar in which a feast is always new and is always old. You know, that there's football in fall and there's basketball in winter and summer is baseball and, you know, that sort of pattern, that we don't do that anymore. We become divorced from the calendar, and we're designed to live in calendars, and especially children, that the calendar is a very good thing for children. It gives them that sense of continuity and permanence. You know, the Advent, in which we don't celebrate Christmas. Then Christmas when we do, Lent when we repent, Easter when we rejoice, Holy Week when we mourn, Easter week when we feast. But then we have the days of fasting. I don't, this is something people are trying to revive, the Ember Days, which were seasonal fasts and which we prayed for good harvest, that sort of thing. But Halloween is a very important part of it, because in most of the world, in the temperate zones where most people live, there is this change of seasons, and it's evidence of the idea that there's a progress in human life, and it's to be celebrated. And Halloween, I think Halloween should be celebrated. I really do. You know, people who are devout say, we don't celebrate Halloween. Well, you should, because it's part of the calendar. It's All Hallows Eve. And even the more somber aspects of it, it's whistling past the graveyard, that I'm not afraid of ghosts or death or any of that sort of thing, because I am part of a communion of saints. I think that's part of it. You know, the idea that as a kid, I just enjoyed Halloween because I liked candy. I didn't like dressing up. I just liked going door to door.
I think that's it for every kid, Father.
Yes. No matter, even if the kid is in his 70s, like myself. But, that idea of going door to door and your parents tell you never take accept candy from a stranger except one night of the year. And boy, it was so much fun that you got to run around after dark outside and you came home with a bag of loot, and the next day, if you went to a Catholic school, the next day was a holy day, so it was a day off, so you'd go to church, and then you would spend the rest of the day in a sugar high. It was a delightful memory that talked about the beauty of the communion of saints, and Halloween in a sense, and then you remembered dead grandma and grandpa, and you prayed for them the day after on All Souls. So it was a 3-day celebration. Halloween, All Saints, All Souls. There were 3 days of admitting that life on this earth was a temporary event and that we conquered it. It was joyful. We conquered it, you know. I think that, you know, looking at it that way, I may be out of step with most people these days, but I think we should celebrate Halloween. I don't think adults should celebrate. I think it should be for children. I think, you know, when you get adults wearing weird skimpy costumes and going to drunken parties, that's when you're in real trouble.
Right. Yeah.
They're not going to Mass the next day to celebrate All Saints Day. It should be the 3-day celebration.
Right. Well, that's kind of taking that Mardi Gras idea of the day before Lent, you know, Ash Wednesday, before it starts, and saying, let me get in as much of my revelry as I possibly can. And your focus is on the wrong thing there. So if your focus is to have, you know, fun and celebrate that, hey, we're on the eve of one of the high feasts of the church, and we are going to Mass tomorrow, that's one thing. But I wholeheartedly agree. There's been this absorption of Halloween to be something that, and I think this is probably in all reality. It's the devil and his angels that are going through and having the effect to do the exact opposite of what the church has always done. The church takes the secular and it consecrates it. It brings it into the church so that we can celebrate the reality of God and his goodness. And they have taken the goodness of God and something that is associated with God and say, let's strip it of all the things that is God and turn it into something that makes it unholy.
Yeah, yeah, yes, which you can do with religion. You know, there's lots of unholy things that pass as religion. And, you know, again, back to the Screwtape Letters, I think it is a profound thing that C.S. Lewis points out about the devil being spiritual. The devil is a pure spirit, and we believe that the body is sacred and eternal, and that to me is a very important point that C.S. Lewis makes in the book. That you know, people talk about Jesus calling himself the Son of Man and say, well, clearly he wasn't. He didn't think he was divine. That's nonsense. That's a title about a celestial being. He is taking on himself the title of this being who comes from the very throne of God. And it is fascinating to me that in the Bible, the devil never has a problem with calling Jesus the Son of God, never calls him the Son of Man. Hmm. I think that's because the devil is just fine if God will stay in heaven and mind his own business, because the earth belongs to the devil. So, and another thing I think that this isn't in C.S. Lewis, but I heard this from a friend of mine who's an exorcist, that the devil doesn't know the future. And so the devil thinks he's won. The devil doesn't realize he's lost, which I think that explains a lot. You know, the only thing admirable about the devil is his persistence.
He keeps trying.
No, but it's a persistence.
He still
born.
Thinks there's a
he
chance.
He keeps trying. Yes,
right.
He
yeah.
still thinks there's a chance. And he's not happy with God invading the territory that belongs to him, the world. So he had no problem calling him the Son of God. Son of Man, that's different.
Yeah. What do you think are the most important things that we can do for ourselves? I guess in terms of both knowledge as well as action, you know, prayer or other actions that we can do in our lives so that we can be prepared and be educated to rebuff spiritual attacks when they come.
I've never known an exorcist who is, and I've known a few of them, I've never known one who hasn't said, a good confession is worth 1,000 exorcisms. Go to regular confession, stay in a state of grace. And my experience is that the Hail Mary is very powerful. The Rosary is a very powerful prayer. You know, people say, well, the Rosary isn't biblical, you're worshiping Mary, etc. No, you're quoting Scripture. That's how Jesus resisted the devil. He quoted Scripture in the desert, in the temptation in the desert. And what we're doing is we're quoting the Scriptures, especially about women. You know, that the war against women is particularly demonic. I always say there hasn't been a feminist movement. There's been a masculinist movement. That, you know, being an engineer or a doctor or a physicist or all these things that are associated traditionally with as male occupations, that they're what's important. You know, being, you know, some, if you're a woman listening to this, has anyone ever said, oh, you're just a mother? You're just a wife and mother? Just a wife? God chooses to identify himself by his relationships, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And to say you're just a wife and mother, or you're just a husband and father, that's the summit of what you can do. But, you know, there's never really been a feminist movement. There's been a masculinist movement. And the Rosary profoundly reminds the devil, using Scripture, that a woman's body is sacred. Hail Mary, full of grace. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. In other words, the fruit of your womb, that do you realize that we're talking about the process of birth and the sacredness of the female body? What is it? How many Hail Marys? We say 53 Hail Marys in the Rosary every time we say a Rosary. And that's a powerful slap at the devil. And he understands why the prayer is. I've seen this in exorcisms that nothing will get a person afflicted by the devil to squirm like the Hail Mary. You always have people over in the rectory or somewhere else saying the rosary. I was never an exorcist, thank God, but I assisted in exorcisms, and the exorcist would say, "Father Simon, start saying the Hail Mary, please," and it would be amazing to see the response. It's a powerful prayer, the Hail Mary. There's all sorts of things, holy water, blessed salt, all those good things, and people think of them as amulets, and they're not. They're messages the devil can understand. This place belongs to God. If you use them as amulets, you continue burning down small villages and running guns to the Hottentots, and then you have a nice cross in your house. It's not going to help. That's superstition. But to say to the devil through symbols that this place belongs to God, well, if it truly belongs to God, they're very useful. But to me, the two major things, well, let me do three major things. A good confession, stay in a state of grace to the best of your knowledge and ability. The Hail Mary, especially said in the context of the Rosary, is powerful because it reminds the devil that God loves the human body and we should honor it and respect it. And the third thing, if you really think there's something going bump in the night or problems like that, those passages in the Gospels in which Jesus casts out demons, just read them. He doesn't like those either. So those are the things I think are really helpful to me spiritually.
All right. Very good. Well, Father Simon is our spiritual director, Father Richard Simon, the host of Father Simon Says, that you can hear Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock Central here on Relevant Radio. Today, talking about the reality of evil. And as you mentioned, the different passages where we can read about Jesus casting out a demon or even groups of demons. Maybe we can pick up on that in just a moment here, Father, and talk about that, because there's one story in particular where Jesus, his disciples, they're unable to drive out an unclean spirit. And Jesus drives out the demon, and the disciples end up asking why they had failed. And Jesus has a response that might sound very simplistic on the surface, but maybe we can pick up on that in just a moment, Father, and talk about that. You're listening to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio, again, talking with Father Richard Simon of Father Simon Says about the reality of evil in our world. And we'll continue our conversation in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Fall into the spirit of giving by donating your car to Relevant Radio. The proceeds from your car, truck, motorcycle, or a boat will support your favorite programs. RelevantRadio.com/car. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on this Wednesday on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond. And our spiritual director for this hour, a regular voice that you hear daily on Relevant Radio, Father Richard Simon, the host of Father Simon Says, and you hear his program at 1 o'clock Central here on Relevant Radio. And talking today about the reality of evil in our world, about spiritual warfare, about understanding as we approach Halloween, having the right understanding about evil and the demonic in our world, and having a fascinating conversation. And if you've missed any portion of the program, I hope you'll go back and listen to the entire hour. It'll be posted online at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, and you'll be able to find it here in a little bit later this afternoon. I also want to mention, as we're talking about this, looking ahead to Halloween, which is the eve of All Souls Day. I'm sorry, the eve of All Saints Day. That's November 1st. But then the next day, All Souls Day, November 2nd, we're going to be starting a novena praying for all of our departed loved ones. And we'll be praying for them daily at Mass, as well as during the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and during the Family Rosary across America. And want to encourage you to submit any names of any of your deceased friends or family that you would like added to the names that will be praying for together. And you can do that at relevantradio.com or through the Relevant Radio app. And there's no limit to the number of names that you can send through to us. And I hope you will join us as we pray together. Again, you can add those names at relevantradio.com or through the Relevant Radio app. You'll see the banner there. You can click and you can add those names. And again, we'll be praying together at Mass at noon central, starting November 2nd for the 9 days through November 10th. We'll also pray with Drew Mariani at the Chaplet of Divine Mercy at 3 o'clock central in the afternoon, and then with Father Rocky and the Family Rosary Across America at 7 o'clock central in the evening. Again, Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com. And Father Simon, as we continue our conversation here, I mentioned that story about where there's a boy, he has a spirit that it ends up throwing him into convulsions at the very end, but it makes him mute. He can't talk, and he's deaf, and Jesus casts this spirit out. And the disciples had tried to, they couldn't, and they say later on when they're in private, why couldn't we drive out this spirit? And Jesus responds to them, and some translations say this kind can only come out through prayer, but there are other translations that have an added word in there, and it's this kind can only come out through prayer and fasting. And so I thought it might be good for us to talk about the role that fasting, self-denial, discipline over our bodies, why is that so important for resisting and fighting evil?
Well, let me jump back about prayer. I mean, you'd think the disciples would have known that already, but they wouldn't have, because exorcism was a very thriving business in the ancient world. They believed every bad thing was caused by demons, and they would have these incantations and amulets and magic potions, and they would try to scare the demons away by mentioning the name of a bigger demon, and Jesus saying that's all nonsense. Pray. That's what this is about. There's no magical phrase. You pray and you fast. But the fasting is fascinating. You know, when we talk about fasting, we all think, well, fasting is because God is very, very stingy. And if he really sees us suffering, he might feel sorry for us and give us what we want. That's crazy. That's nonsense. Fasting is efficacious because it's an exercise in freedom. And this takes us right back to C.S. Lewis, and it takes us back to the scripture. C.S. Lewis talks about, he says that the human, the enemy looks at the human vermin as potential sons and lovers. He looks at them as cattle, food prepared for the table. He looks at them as potential sons and lovers. We look at them as cattle, food prepared for the table, the stronger will devouring the weaker. And I think what he is riffing off is the scripture text from 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Watch your enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That the devil wants to devour our will. And this is something I observed in exorcisms, is that one of the main jobs of the exorcist is to get the sufferer to exercise his freedom. Freedom is the substructure of love. If I have to love you, I can't love you. I have to be free to love you. And so the devil wants to take our freedom, and the stronger will overpowering the weaker. And one of the jobs of the exorcist is to kind of distract the devil and to get the sufferer to express his own freedom by the creed. I believe in one God. In other words, I choose to trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's like you got this guy tied up and mouth covered with duct tape, mute, and their freedom is attacked by the enemy. And so you want to get them to exercise their freedom and to choose God and to choose freedom and love. And fasting is an exercise in freedom. I can have that cake, but I'm not gonna, you know, that I'm going to discipline my will so that when the devil comes along, I can say no to all those nice things he offers me. You know, the theft of freedom is very important in the spiritual life. You know, I have a friend who's had a very close relative die of fentanyl poisoning, and is this new epidemic of drug addiction. What do drugs do? They take your freedom away. What is sexual license do? It takes your freedom away. People say, well, I'm free. I can sleep around. No, you become an addict to sex. The new drug craze, it's one of the devil's best tricks. And fentanyl is, of course, one of the devil's best drugs. It's, I guess, 50 times more powerful than heroin. And the devil just tells you, you can be free with drugs. You can be free with sex. You can be free with all these things. And you become a slave. And so that's kind of what's really going on here, is that the devil wants to enslave the world and has done a very good job. Think of people who are slaves to a screen. How many hours a day do I spend looking at a screen? You know, it's I don't know. How did I go off on this?
No, that's
fasting.
Freedom. So fasting
is an exercise in freedom. Yeah. That's why fasting is powerful, because it makes me a free man. And I can say no to the devil. And it's that simple. I'm not a slave to the most basic of needs. You know, food is a pretty basic need. And if I can say no to that appetite in my life, that I'm way ahead of the game. So that's why I think prayer and fasting. It isn't superstition. It's genuine seeking of God. And it isn't just a ritual that's painful. No, it's an exercise in freedom. So I think that's why those things are mentioned by the Lord.
I think that concept of freedom there is so interesting and so important too, because you know, you talked about fentanyl, you talked about drug addiction. I mean, we could talk about sexual addiction, you know, pornography, which so many people struggle with, gambling, another addiction, even shopping can be an addiction for people. And you talked about, you know, computer screens or smartphones. Another thing that I was thinking about as you were talking about that, if we don't find ourselves addicted to something in that fashion, another thing that really strips us of our freedom that the devil has been so good at doing is we live in a consumer-driven economy where debt, you know, just being in debt, it strips us of our freedom. And then all of a sudden we're a slave to somebody else. And even that, I think, is an area where we give up our freedom and don't realize until we're already entrapped in debt, in owing somebody else money, how we've lost that control and that freedom in our lives.
Scripture says, owe no man anything except to love one another. And, you know, we think that's just a nice poetic verse. No, the Lord means it. A Christian should not be in significant debt. Just because we want to owe it doesn't mean we can. And
right.
I think that that's a very good insight on your part. The devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, and he can use the bank to help him do it.
Let's talk about one other aspect here, Father. I think we can have this attitude that we are strong, we're fully capable, I can accomplish most anything I set my mind out to, but we rarely realize how fragile and how weak we are. And that can be a danger when it comes to dealing with evil spirits. And we have to know our limitations. We have to know when we need help. And I find one of the most interesting verses in the Bible to be in that short letter of St. Jude in the New Testament, where he ends up writing about how he says, the archangel Michael, when he argued with the devil in a dispute over the body of Moses, he did not venture to pronounce a reviling judgment upon him, but said, may the Lord rebuke you. And if St. Michael, he leans upon the strength of Jesus in dealing with Satan, that should be an exemplary lesson for all of us.
Oh yeah, and that I forgot to mention that talking about the good things to help resist the devil. And I think one of them is we can ask the help of our guardian angels and of Saint Michael, because they know how to do it. You know, they've known the devil since the old days, since they were in school together. So they know that. But that idea that, well, I can do this. You know, in my experience in things Pentecostal, I have seen, you know, people who really just, I'm thinking of one guy. I probably shouldn't even mention this. He is now dead, so that's not the issue. It's just frightening to mention. But he challenged the devil. He felt he was spiritually strong enough that he could challenge the devil. I cringe to talk about it. So he was quite convinced that he had been involved in his childhood in Caribbean voodoo and had been delivered from it. And he just felt that the devil was no longer a threat. Instead of saying, may God rebuke you, he literally challenged the devil. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, please don't say that. Please don't say that. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And he died very tragically. Well, at any rate, well, that's just a sad memory. But
No, that's and scary too. Because I mean, on either side, to challenge the devil or to challenge God, it's things that are beyond us. But let's talk about there's that well-known prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel. For a lot of us, we know that rhyming prayer for our guardian angels. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean, our guardian angels are there anyway, but what happens when we ask for their protection, when we ask for them to light and guard and rule and guide?
What happens, they're going to be there anyway, obeying God. But you're right. But what we do is we remind ourselves that they're there. And the devil, I think, really does feed on fear. I remember a wonderful old story of a great evangelist in the 19th century. And he was in a country district where there was no electricity. And one night he was preaching a revival, I think, something like that. And the house began to shake, and the low moans and the rattling chains and the whole thing. And he lit a candle, got up and went out into the hallway. And there was the devil seated in all of his satanic majesty. And he looked at the devil and he said, "Oh, it's only you." Blew out the candle and went back to bed. So I don't know that I'm at that place spiritually, but in a way, that's a good insight. St. Anthony of the Desert has had the same experience. It's only you. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. And I think our prayers to the guardian angels, our prayer to Saint Michael, is to remind us that we're not in this battle alone. We don't have to be as afraid. We have to have a healthy fear, but we don't have to be afraid of these things because we read the end of the book and we know who wins. I think that's to remind ourselves of the communion of saints, which include the angels, is a very powerful thing. So that's why we say, I think that's why I certainly, why I say the prayer to Saint Michael and pray to the guardian angels. And I think it's a good thing to pray to the guardian angels when we're worried about our kids. Because the devil can't have children. He can only steal ours. But go on.
I was just going to say that that's actually one of the things that I found to be extremely comforting for my children is we've had this little image, little prayer card of two little kids crossing a bridge, and other people might recognize this image that I'm describing, and there's the guardian angel kind of protecting them. There's thorns and there's rushing water underneath them and thorns all around them, and even just taking that in, it's a scary night for whatever reason there in the darkness of your bedroom, and you say, "All right, let's just pray to your guardian angel," and that really helps to comfort them. I think what you said is it really helps us more than it does anything to incite the angel to do anything. It's a good reminder for us. And just, I'm sure there are moments where our guardian angels, they do just offer that, however they whisper into our soul, that little comfort there. Don't worry, I'm right here.
Or they make the power go out.
That's right. To go back to that opening story
years ago.
Yeah.
But also, I think with prayer, people say, "Well, if God knows the future and knows what's going to happen, why do we pray?" Well, God, we have a destiny. We don't have a fate. And when we pray, we give. I've heard people say, "Well, Christians pray." Not like the pagans. The pagans pray to get the gods to do what they want. Christians pray so that we'll do what God wants. I don't think that's true either. We pray to give God the permission to do what he wants. The idea, well, it's God's will. He's going to do what he wants. No, he won't. He doesn't force his will on us. And I think in prayer, we give God and we give the guardian angels permission to do the right thing, even if we don't think it may not be what we want. But Lord, I give you permission to do the right thing, even if I don't see it. Dear guardian angel, I ask you to do God's will in my life, even if it's not my will. So we give God and the saints and the angels permission to do their job. Because again, the kingdom of God is all about freedom. God, the angels, and the saints respect my freedom more than I do. And I think that idea of freedom is real important in this. We're free men and women in a world of slaves, especially slaves who've been convinced that they're free and we're slaves. So it's all about freedom, and the devil is all about slavery.
Well, our spiritual director for this hour, Father Richard Simon, and we are talking about the reality of evil. And of course, you can hear Father Simon every single weekday at 1 o'clock Central on his program, Father Simon Says. And Father, I just want to thank you for taking the time to be here with us, first of all. And I thought it might be nice. Normally, we end the program with a blessing for all of our listeners, but I wanted to give a little extra time and ask if you would maybe pray the two prayers that we've mentioned. Well, we've actually mentioned three, but I was thinking the Hail Mary as well as the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel, and wanted to give us a little extra time here at the end if I could ask you to lead us in those prayers and then offer a blessing for our listeners.
Oh, I'd love to. All right. Lord, I ask you to put your hand on all who listen and protect them from the wiles of the devil. And we ask you, St. Michael, to join. And St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. And we ask you, dear Blessed Mother, to put your arm around all of those, especially our children who so need your protection. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And we ask, especially for our children, that the guardian angels protect them. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits thee here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, to guide. And may Almighty God bless all of you and all of your children. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Simon, thank you so much for being here with me today as we had this conversation about the reality of evil, and look forward to hearing you coming up here in just a little over an hour at 1 o'clock Central on Father Simon Says. And of course, want to encourage you to go ahead and listen to the podcast. If you missed any portion of this program, you can download that coming up a little later this afternoon on relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Of course, stay tuned. We've got Mass that's coming up next here, and look forward to seeing you back here with us again tomorrow on The Inner Life. Have a blessed afternoon.